Welcome, welcome. It's good to have you back, combatants. Kamidogu is thrilled to have you back for another special episode today. If you're a newcomer, it would be superb if you could click follow or subscribe wherever you watch or listen to the podcast. It really helps us out and keeps us going. My friends, I am delighted to be accompanied by Joel McHale. Joel has been involved in many of the latest animated Mortal Kombat films, such as Scorpion's Revenge and Battle of the Realms. Joel took on the role of everyone's favorite conceited superstar, Johnny Cage. Joel did an extravagant job as the character, and hopefully we'll see him in a number of films yet. There's plenty of questions to ask, and I'm eager to get straight to it. Without further ado, here's Johnny.
Action!
Okay, everyone. Joined with us is the incredibly talented, most humorous, Joel McHale. Widely recognized for hosting television series The Soup for a grand total of 11 years, and of course, playing the comical role of Jeff Winger on NBC's sitcom Community. Given the podcast this is, today's emphasis will revolve around the egotistical, Hollywood-driven combatant, Johnny Cage. Everyone loves this character, and it's nothing short of a pleasure to have Joel on the show. Thank you so much for being here today, Joel.
Thank you. It is your pleasure. I'm already in Johnny Cage mode. Thank you for having me, and great shirt, great background, great necklace, great goatee. The whole thing is working. Do you have a Mortal Kombat tattoo as well?
I do. I have Scorpion. I got Quan Chi. I got Shao Kahn. I got logos all around.
Johnny Cage?
Johnny Cage. It's going to happen because he's on my top five, so it's just a matter of time. Look at Joel. Click!
I'll see you later.
Don't worry, my friend. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. All right?
Very good.
Yeah. All right, so to start off today's interview, perhaps you could tell our audiences how you initially received the role of Johnny Cage beginning in Scorpion's Revenge.
I mean, that was just it. I mean, it came through as an offer, and I don't know what nice people, I think it was the producers, obviously, who were like, hey, do you want to do this? And my agent immediately said something like, you don't need to do this. And, you know, the money's not great. They agents always do that. And unless the money's great, and then they're like, you should do it. And I'm like, yeah, but this would hurt my career. Doesn't matter. Do it. And I'm kidding. They're not like that. But I would have done this for free, but don't tell the producers that. Mortal Kombat was a huge part of my life when I was younger, because I dumped enough money into it to buy a yacht. And so I knew that, you know, like when I got the offer, like you get to play John. I was one of those things where I'm like, I you know, where I did like a Lucy sketch, trying to sign my name to it, and that was just, as you know, was just I was one of you know, the ensemble.
Yeah.
So they're really cool. They let me, you know, like improvise a bit. They let me be pretty dirty and raunch. I mean, not that dirty, but you know, they let me swear a lot. Yeah. I mean, it was very, it's an R-rated movie, so it was, you know, the violence and the language were pretty turned up, and I thought that was great, because there was a couple, as you probably know, some versions of different things with Mortal Kombat that were a little tamer.
Yes.
And people got real upset about that, including this guy, and so this was like a wonderful, you know, all-in version that I really got responded to, and believe me, I would do another 20 more if they're making them.
So, I like the sounds of that.
Yeah, so it was really fun, and they let me be funny, and but you know, people have different interpretations of what funny is, but I was very, very pleased to do it. That is the perfect long answer from an actor talking about himself.
That's brilliant. I think it's perfect, Joel. So what type of research did you do before heading to the studio? Did you play any of the video games or watch history videos online of Johnny, etc.?
No, I already had the history in me, my friend. You know, I had played enough. I've played so much Mortal Kombat, and I got my ass kicked by little kids all day long. You know, I read the script, and I was like, yes, this is exactly kind of how I thought he was. I was going to say, did I look into his voice? I just kind of was like, I was in my brain. I was like, he'll sound like me, but even a bigger douchebag. And that seemed appropriate. Yes, because all good ideas about douches come out of this guy.
Yeah, oh, man. Have you enjoyed any other past portrayals of Johnny Cage? And did you happen to speak to any of these actors regarding the role?
The other folks in the original, the most recent movie?
Yeah, Lyndon Ashby, Matt Mullins, etc.
I didn't talk to them beforehand, but then we did a bunch of like Zoom promotion calls.
Ah, yes.
And so I got to know them there. And,
oh, wow.
And then who did I meet somebody in? No, I don't know if I ever met anybody in studio. Don't think.
No,
So that's the big weird secret about animated movies is that it sounds like we're all in the same room and nobody ever is.
It's true.
It is a miracle the way they put them, you know, edit them together to make it look like we're yelling at each other and talking in the same conversation. Because as you know, actors' schedules are very precious and we can't be in the same room with each other. So, I didn't watch any other movie. It really shows you the dedication to my craft. I had seen
other
clips, but I did not go, I didn't study a clip to go, this is the one.
Yeah.
So I just played a role in the wonderful and great, insanely talented Brittany Snow wrote and directed a movie, and I play a super drunk person in it a lot. And
okay,
that one, you know, I did a ton of research because it's really easy to screw that up and fuck that up. Not that this was an easy, like, this is a slam dunk. But the producers were like, it sounds like you got him in your voice and keep going. So I was like, great. Sometimes that happens. Other times they're like, what are you doing? What is that? I don't know what that is, but it's not what we want. So please leave. So with each role comes a different amount of work. And this one was, I think I have one more cleanup session for the movie, it's really fun. You know, I get to screw around and have fun and say stuff. And, you know, like I see the renderings as they get closer and closer, and these movies take a long time to make. And the art is so well done and takes so long. So the actor part is really the easy, lazy part, which I am happy to do because I am pretty lazy.
So fill us in a bit more about how it was working on such films in the booth. You stated before that your voice was absolutely shot by the end of the day. And how was it working with director Ethan Spalding for these movies?
I mean, he's terrific. I think he's one of the reasons why they come together so well.
Yeah.
And believe me, again, I am an actor, so I don't know the number of steps that it takes, the amount of work it takes to finally put the whole thing together where the director has all that stuff in their head. But he, you know, like driving the story. I mean, it's all the kind of simple stuff, which is keeping the story going forward, which the script is already there. And then with my character with all of them, like, well, especially mine, I would say, because especially in the first movie, I was definitely the comic relief. They let me screw around a ton. And I know that I had I contributed a lot of extra stuff that was completely unnecessary. So that they can just throw that away and then take, you know, my character stuff, which is telling the story, and then hopefully insert a lot of jokes that are character driven and not just you know, fart jokes, which I'm still hoping are going to get in.
What would you say, actually, are some of your favorite scenes in the animated films? Which moments do you feel turned out extremely well?
I liked the love story, or my character pining after, Sonia?
Sonia, that was the best.
That stuff made me laugh, and I think it's so funny, that dynamic. Like, the guy who thinks somebody's in love with them, and then the other person who's like, you're an idiot. And and he's like, absolutely, I see that I'm getting to you. And yeah. I find that dynamic pretty funny until it becomes creepy. And then all of a sudden it's a stalker film. But but that dynamic, I think of like this kind of bumbling idiot who doesn't get it, and then he kind of has a come to Jesus moment. It's like, oh, wait a minute, I have been an idiot. I love that stuff. I love that dynamic. And you know, I've said this a zillion times, but the violence is very creative and good and over the top and wonderfully. I mean, the rendering of it is so crazy, and how good it is. And it's not.
Yes.
This sounds strange. It's not cartoonish, but it's very, it's so well done. So I don't know if you could do, I mean, you could, it would just take a lot of time and money to do a live action that's as dynamic.
How much of Johnny do you think is in your personality altogether?
Oh, he's always there. Right here. When I was doing Community, people were like, oh, it's just you. That's just you. And I was like, well, I'm not a, I don't sleep around. I'm not a womanizing lawyer. Yeah. I am an actor who's been married at that point for like 18 years. So I was like, so there's a part of me, I think, you know, whenever it's like, how much of you is in there? I think, you know, for any actor, they're, that thing is a part of them, the thing that they make and work on. I mean, I'm naturally, yes, a douche. So that is helpful, no doubt.
Straight up.
And I steer into compliments, or when people say, you know, when I, for example, I grew up in a, what is now a fancy suburb of Seattle called Mercer Island. At the time when we moved in, it was not. It became quite fancy. So if I'm in Seattle, like my parents paid like 90 grand for their home a zillion years ago. It's gone up.
Yeah.
But when people hear I'm from Mercer Island, they go, oh, well, look at you. And I'm like, yeah, sorry my parents did better than yours. That's my standard go-to joke. So I steer into that stuff like a douche. Hopefully I'm not as clueless as Johnny Cage. I wish I was as physically, you know, in shape and flexible, and could actually leap 10 or 15 feet into the air. That would be great.
Well, I thought you were still trying to prove to people that you have abs. Hell, word on the street.
Oh,
you do your recordings with your shirt off. Is it true?
Yeah, I record everything with my shirt off. I don't want any of that sound being absorbed by a thin layer of cotton.
No. Oh, okay, I see your logic.
And I have a spray bottle to make it look like I'm always sweating. Yes. Oh,
very well done, Joel. Very well.
Thank you.
Here's a question.
I can ask you a question. When did you become obsessed with Mortal Kombat?
Oh, I became pretty much the moment I came out of the womb. I just sort of sparked from there. No, in all realism, I was about 3 years old. It started with the first Mortal Kombat game. Yeah.
On what console? You're too young to play upright games.
You know, I think it was the Super Nintendo. It was the first Mortal Kombat game. Yeah.
Well, that's not the first one. The first one was in the arcades, of course.
Oh, well, yeah, technically speaking, it came out in the arcades first, and then a little while later, yes, it came out for the home console
systems.
See
what I did there? I corrected you.
Oh!
Mortal Kombat history. Yes!
Oh.
Yes! Oh. Yes!
Oh, shit. You got me, Joel. You got me. Damn. Well, I have...
Any other, And like, now, if you were, I don't know, if you're obsessed with Final Fantasy, do you change the backdrop and the tattoos and the t-shirts and the necklace and all of a sudden it's a Final Fantasy thing?
You know what, Joel? Mortal Kombat is in my blood, so I just display it 24/7. I got about 100 shirts, okay? I've got all kinds of bling. I'm full of tattoos. Nah, man. I keep the backdrop the way it is.
Nice. Nice. Where'd you get it?
Oh, from all around the world, probably. Everything. I got statues and you name it. So it's just slight addiction. I don't know.
Like you have a room that is just full.
That is dedicated. Yes. 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 And soon enough, I'm definitely going to have to probably start a few rooms. So.
Someday there will probably be a Mortal Kombat museum and your collection will be displayed.
Yes, absolutely. You know what? I was also thinking I should have one particular room that's based around Johnny Cage. Maybe you can come check out sometime.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
When did it start? 99? Was it 1990, the first game, or 89?
No, it was 92.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a... I mean, 30 years. Who would have thought?
Oh, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. I have a question for you, though. Can you actually do Johnny Cage's Splits Punch in real life?
No.
Oh!
Are you kidding? I would be hospitalized.
Oh, that's not good. I would probably avoid that.
If there was like a machine that I get strapped into that makes you do the splits and punches at the same time, it would be the loudest sound next to like a blue angel breaking the sound barrier. It would just be... crack, and then I wouldn't even have an ambulance standing by. I would do it in the emergency room.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
It is well known, Joel, that you actually incorporated an exceptional amount of improvisation to the MK Legends films. I'm not sure if you can, but do you recall any particular scenes that you were really proud made the feature film in which you had included improv? No, because it was just all over the place, huh?
I mean, in for Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, Mortal Kombat Legends, yeah.
I mean, I've improvised in a bunch of other things.
Yeah, that didn't make it either, eh? Obviously.
But. A lot of it doesn't make it, and it's just the director going like, are you done yet? Oh, good. Okay, can we get to the thing that you're supposed to do? Perfect.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the final product, so I don't know what made it in and what didn't.
Oh, seriously? You never watched the final product?
Oh, of the one I'm making now?
Wait, so you're saying you're making another Mortal Kombat Legends movie right now?
No, I'm not. I'm joking. let's see. Boy, I think the number of times you hear me say fuck. absolutely. Like, they put a couple in there, and I just wouldn't stop hammering it. So my guess is there's 10 extra. Maybe 20.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. I don't think... No, I didn't see anything. You're not involved in Mortal Kombat Legends Snowblind, right?
I have no idea. Probably not.
Has no idea. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen. No idea. Yeah. Go ahead.
Very diplomatic answer.
Out of the two movies that you were featured as Johnny, what would you say are some of the strengths of each separate film? Was there anything in a certain title that you liked a bit better than the other and so forth?
You're telling me to say which movie was better?
Well, not necessarily what was better, but like, is there any like elements in a certain one that you kind of liked a bit better than the other, maybe?
No, I love them like my children.
Okay.
No, I mean, as I've already kind of said, hammered on, that, what is it, the opening scene where the kid gets killed? That doesn't happen a lot in movies, and I think that really established it as, this is not your father's Mortal Kombat animated feature. And I love that. So, I mean, it sounds like a weird thing to really like, wasn't that great when that father and son were horribly murdered? But I think it was for these movies, it was like, this is a reset, not necessarily a reset, but it was like, this is the world we are establishing. If you don't like it, this is probably the time you need to get off the train. If you do, you're going to have a lot of fun, and if you're into it. So that moment was particularly like great. What I also like about them is that they're not, it's not just all action and just, you know, sometimes when there's so much action, then it becomes just desensitized and non-action.
Absolutely.
So I'm being very general, but I think they're both great. And it sounds like now I'm complimenting myself because I'm in them. But that's how I feel about them. Anyway, how about you?
Oh, man. Well, it's kind of an unpopular opinion, to be honest. People are going to look at me weird right now. I actually prefer Battle of the Realms. I don't know. There's something about it that just kind of drawed me a little more. I really liked the action. I really liked a lot of the characters that were included. Okay. Yeah, but Scorpion's Revenge is still fantastic. I really like that one as well. I don't know, man. I think Johnny Cage was just spot on perfect, in my honest opinion. So it just made the movie so much better for me.
And you're my new favorite.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You're now my new favorite.
Okay. But yeah, man, they're both great. Obviously, I'm happy to have them in my collection. And, you know, I watch them every now and then for sure. It's
how often do you play the games?
The games, often enough, not like every day, because I find personally that Mortal Kombat is a lot more fun multiplayer, of course, right? You know, you're duking it out. Online is one thing, but I mean, then there's lag and all this, but I digress. You know, I prefer local co-op as well, so, you know, have some friends over, have a few beers, play Mortal Kombat. That's always fun, right?
Very good. And there, yeah, do your friends come over and go like, oh, what should we play today, huh? What do you think? Oh, I don't know. We're in a room surrounded by Mortal Kombat stuff. What do you want to do, Bill?
I say Street Fighter.
And then
the door is right there.
Door's right there. Thrown through a door upside down. Hit with a brick, ironically. Hit with a brick.
Yep. You know,
I remember playing that first Street Fighter too and being like, this is amazing.
And then Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I mean, then Mortal Kombat was so unique because it looked better than every other game.
It did.
And then the action was so good that, you know, there's been a lot of games that look great, but then the gameplay is like, meh. And then the opposite is true. But then when they both come together, hold on to your hat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hold on to your gi.
Yeah. In each animation film, it's kind of ironic to me, given Johnny's special move, that Cage continuously gets hit in the balls. In the third film, which sounds like may be happening, let's hope. Can audience expect his nuts to be jello at this point, Joel?
I don't think he has any left. there's a whole section of the new movie that's not happening. Where he has a testicle transplant. He's got...
Oh!
Yeah.
Was it the same surgeon who did Kano's eye?
No. That guy's a hack.
Maybe you have super balls now or something.
I'm kidding. I don't know. He's an eye specialist. What the hell? He wouldn't do balls.
You could have some intense metallic high-tech balls.
Yeah, he gets a ball transplant. And so, you know, now when he gets hit, he's like, that's fine. The reset button has been hit, and I'm fine for at least another 8 years. Kind of like a hip replacement.
Okay. Oh, wow, that is not a predicament I would like to be in. You've discussed the possibility of a Mortal Kombat versus DC animated film. What exactly are your thoughts on such a project, and who do you think...
When did I say that?
Oh, it was a little while ago. It was. It wasn't a video interview. I can tell you that much. But who do you think would be a great match for Johnny Cage in this realm, I guess?
Starman.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, see what I've done? I was able to take both my characters and put them against each other. Yep, definitely Starman. Everyone's like, not Batman, Joel? No, not Batman. Nope.
Starman.
So, yeah, I think Starman would be a good chat. It would be very surreal. It would be very...
Yeah.
It would be very what Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides.
That would be something. Do you think there's a lot of potential in like a movie of that sort happening?
No.
Truth be told. Next question.
I mean, I have no idea. That's sort of thing that I just fling out there out of my mouth. And this is why it shows you're good at what you do, because you pay attention and you find details and go like, what do you mean by that, you crazy person? I don't know. I'd do it, obviously, in a heartbeat.
Yeah. I understand at least one of your kids is actually a bit of a gamer. Do you guys ever play some of the Mortal Kombat titles to date? Maybe even MK11?
Both are gamers, and they've dabbled. They haven't gotten fully immersed, which I'm deeply offended by. there's some sports games over here that I play with them, but nice. You know, they're kids, and so they're way better now. I can't for the life of me even dream of keeping up. So it really is. It would be like Bjorn Borg trying to return to tennis now and with a wooden racket. That's the level of how shitty I am now. But they play, you know, they play a lot of Fortnite. They play some Call of Duty.
Classic.
My son is playing something on his PC a lot. And I can't.
What type of game?
It's a Teams first person shooter game.
Oh, okay. There's tons of those.
Yeah, there's just so. I mean, you guys, these kids are so lucky. The games. We never even dreamt of games like this and being this well done. And I remember when seeing Fortnite for the first time and I was like, oh my Lord, there's a whole other section of your brain that you have to use. And my brain hemispheres have already melded to get, you know, they've already separated. And so I was like, I can't, I mean, I'm okay at it, but
yeah.
The speed with which they play those games
is intense.
Yeah, I should. Yeah. I downloaded Mortal Kombat, so I'll play it by myself sometimes and make myself feel good about myself.
Nice.
So that's that, and then I'll play Johnny Cage and be like, "Yeah, you did okay, bud. You did pretty well. Good for you."
Did you by chance happen to see the live action Mortal Kombat film that was released last year? What were your opinions on it? And most importantly, if you were by chance offered an opportunity to play Johnny Cage in a live action sequel, would this be something you'd be open to?
Oh, well, first of all, I did. I have not seen it, which is pretty poor form. But then to my credit, I don't see anything. Like I still haven't seen Top Gun, and my entire family has seen it. And my wife's seen it like 3 times. So I haven't seen it. How was it?
You know, I love the new live action one. There's a lot of mixed feelings about it as well. But, you know, for a first movie, I thought they laid the foundation there pretty well. I think a lot of the casting was spot on. And I can see a lot of potential for a future. And they're actually working on a sequel right now. So I'm extremely excited.
That's to see awesome. What know.
Yeah. So would you be interested in being live action Johnny?
Yeah, I would totally do it, but I'm too old to play him.
Come on, man.
I could play Johnny Cage's that would be great.
On IMDb, did you know you're actually listed as Johnny Cage in hyphens rumored?
I am?
Yeah, you are.
Well, that's going to stay a rumor for a very long time. I love the character. I love to do it, but that's going to go to, you know, that'll go to a young movie star. That'll go to some hot shot, and he and I will have a coffee someday.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see what the future has in store. So Joel, I'm also, by the way, a massive X-Files fan in addition. That show plays a large role in my life, and quite frankly, that's just iconic television. I was super excited and happy to see that you were going to be a part of this franchise in season 10. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience on this show, as well as how it was working with David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson?
Man, I couldn't believe it when I received the offer. Again, my agent did the same thing. I was like, is this something you want to do? And if I could reach through the phone and grab his lapels and go like, listen, buddy. As soon as I got the offer, I began running to Vancouver to go do it.
Oh, nice.
Same thing. Like, and I grew up when that, you know, I was pretty young when that show started. Pretty young. I was in my 20s when that show started. And I, you know, instantly and now over time has shown that it is one of the greatest television shows ever made.
Yes.
If I do say so myself, because I'm in it. I couldn't believe I was there. I felt like I had won a contest where they're like, you get to play a part in the X-Files. And I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. And I remember it was like, you know, like when I was like, Scully and Mulder. I mean, when I was saying their names out loud, I couldn't believe it. Looking at them. Now I text with them and it's very weird and wonderful. And I'm like, what a wacky, great world I live in. This insane place. What the hell? How did I get here? So I have to thank Chris Carter, who had a vision. And he is our Rod Serling. You know, I couldn't believe I was doing it. I would have done it for the rest of my life. I would have, for as long as my character lived, I would have kept on doing it and doing it and doing it. The experience was great. Gillian and David are great. Chris Carter is great. Mitch Pileggi is great.
Yes.
They all were really cool. Like it was just like my mind was blown. So every day I was there, I was just like, fucking cannot.
It's a dream come true, man. Honestly is one of the best shows.
Yeah, I mean, I was shooting on the streets of Vancouver, and I remember like the scene was between me and them, and I'm trying to get them into a limo. And there's like 2,000 people watching, and that has never happened to me. But I'm like, right, these are two of the most iconic characters and actors to ever be on television. And for any of you young folks out there that are like, oh no, it's great, I hear it's great, you really should take time to watch that show, because it is remarkable.
Yes.
There are things that they did on that show that you can't do now, and as soon as you see them, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. The episode Home being one of them. But it was just so fun and so great. And I can look back on my career and go, I did that.
Do you have the box set of the show?
No, I have. I mean, I have it on Hulu or whatever.
Okay.
I just watch my episodes over and over.
Oh, just those ones. Okay.
I have tons of box sets of DVDs, and boy, I do not. It's so sad that I've gotten to this point where I'm like, it's inconvenient for me to open up a DVD case and insert it into the player. I don't have enough time for that. I would rather just focus the episode. What a lazy fuck.
Would it be accurate to say that you're very interested in trying to get a spot on Amazon's exclusive show, The Boys? This is one of my all-time favorites, and I
love that show so much.
Yeah. I think you'd be perfect for it.
Oh, I'll do it. Yeah, let me know, boys. I love it. I mean, I'm just a gigantic fan. My 14 and 17-year, we are very big fans of it. We watched it. The second it came out, I think we tore through it in a couple days. It's just a revelation. And Amazon really did a great job. And I wish they'd recorded the pitch when they pitched that. Because the comics are what, late 90s, early 2000s?
Something like that, yeah.
And I think the comics are even more violent, or even more out there. So, I mean, I just, they're so good. Jack Quaid is so great in his role. I mean, Everybody is spot on in their roles. They're so good.
Comedy gold.
It's also some of the funniest stuff around. It is truly a comedy in the best way. And it's funny and violent and touching and well-told stories. And people out there who want to make good television should just watch that. I just love how R-rated it is and how...
No limits, almost, it feels like. Did you see the last episode, one of the last episodes, Herogasm? Do you remember that one? That was gnarly.
Everyone was talking. I mean, everyone just kept going like, did you see the scene? And I was, and so
it poor did, mother's it, milk.
It was like, it was pretty great. It was one of those things where I'm like, the buildup, I mean, it was extraordinary. The buildup was so high. I'm like, this better be good. And then it was. I know the woman that runs Amazon Entertainment because she used to work at NBC when I was on Community.
And oh, wow.
I happened to talk to her, Jen Salke, who's one of the nicer people around that you've ever met and very good at what she does. I was just like, that show, man, it changed my life. And I'm an old man. So good. I'm so glad you brought it up. And the other one I love more than life itself is What We Do in the Shadows. Which I can't recommend enough. It is so good. It is so funny. And the same level of sort of, in a completely different way, of edginess and comedic gold. And I'm not someone that watches a ton of comedy. I'm not somebody who watches a ton of anything.
Well,
those are ones I'm just like, I must watch it obsessively. It's so good.
Wow, amazing. So, Joel, we're now going to jump to the last segment of the show, and it is called...
Final Round.
It is called.
So what we're going to do in this final round is I'm going to sort of ask you some...
That's a very long title. It is called... I'm kidding. I know there was a sound effect there. It is called. So what we're going to do in this final round, this is a very long title.
Man, I'm just going to ask you a bunch of rapid-fire questions, try to get to know you a little more. And so, first question being, what are some of your secret talents? Something most people don't know about you.
Oh, all right. I'm going to take a photo. Taking photos during podcasts. you know, that sort of thing. People don't even know I'm taking them. secret talent. I collect wine.
Oh, do you?
I drink it. Scotch and bourbon, gin. I basically have a liquor supply warehouse in my home. So if the house catches fire, the whole place. I also restore vintage SUVs. Not personally, but I work with a guy where we restore them, and that's one of my favorite things to do.
Wow.
What else? I'm decent at tennis.
Tennis. Go. Excellent.
That is, I would totally play basketball. I used to play in leagues and stuff, but it would be like a day before an audition. I'd be like, I got a game tonight. And then I get popped in the nose. And then I would show up with like black eyes. I'd be like, oops, is it possible for me to get as well? secret talents. That's about, I'm real good at, spent a lot of time. My goal is to exercise once an hour to keep back my midlife crisis completely, and that's about it. That's about, I got like really high, I got a lot of airline miles. A
lot of, I bet.
Yeah.
What was your very first job ever?
I had my own company that was just me. That would weed people's yards.
Oh, wow, really? Okay.
Did a lot of weeding, a lot of lawn mowing.
Oh.
Then I got a job as a dishwasher at the Tangerine Restaurant on Mercer Island.
Okay.
And then for years, I made espresso. I made a lot of cups of coffee.
Wow.
at Sam's Espresso, and I'm still friends with Sam today.
Would you look at that? That's excellent.
Yeah. So I'm a. That's my big secret. I guess it's not a secret. I'm a snob about a lot of stuff, and one of them is coffee.
If you had to pick, what is your all-time favorite movie to watch?
I think one of the most, like when I sit down and watch a movie, I think through my history, the movie that if it's on, I won't stop watching it is Back to the Future.
Oh man, we've got that one a few times. That's amazing.
It's the most watchable movie. And I think like one of my, I mean, if I'm picking favorite movies of all time, it's like Blade Runner and Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, nice.
And Akira Kurosawa movie called Ikuru that my friend Scott turned me on to.
Nice.
Scott Derrickson, director of Doctor Strange and yes. Black Phone. So those are like some of the top ones that you hear from my mouth coming out. I also like the Bourne Identity movies. If they're on, I'll just be like, I'm just going to turn this on. And then I'll be like, I was supposed to do the dishes. I was supposed to do some other shit, but I'm just watching this now.
Matt Damon took you away.
Matt Damon. So there's these watch. So I'm not like favorites to go like I'm putting Three Men and a Little Lady in, or you know, I don't have those. Like my 17-year-old, yeah, he's 17. This year, I introduced him to Battlestar Galactica.
And oh, nice! Has
a wonderful trip. We have just had so much. Now we're watching Falling Skies together, which I really enjoyed. I think Noah Wiley's great in that. And boy. A lot of Bob's Burgers.
A lot of Bob's Burgers.
A lot of Bob's Burgers and a lot of Simpsons.
Yeah. Oh, Simpsons, of course.
Yeah.
And you're good friends with Conan O'Brien, right? He was a brilliant writer for Simpsons. Yeah. I'm a huge Conan O'Brien fan, man.
Yeah, he's way... He really pisses me off. He's so smart and funny.
What a guy. Yeah, what a guy. What was the strangest fan encounter you've ever had? One you won't forget.
Man, I don't know. You know, I'm at a weird level of fame where I don't really have a problem in public places at all. But once in a while, you know, someone will try and tackle me.
Oh, lovely.
I'm trying to think.
Did anyone try to like, I don't know, ask for an autograph or something in the washroom, something weird, something unusual?
Oh yeah, I mean, there's been like standing next to me at urinals saying they're a big fan.
Oh yeah.
And I'll be like, well, thank you so much. That's happened multiple times.
Oh man.
And then other people, I mean, this has happened a number of times where I'll be at a bar or there'll be drunk people and they'll be like, my friend says I'm supposed to know who you are. And I'm like, well, your friend is a registered sex offender. And I always insult them. They're like, huh? And they're like, are you supposed to be famous? And I was like, well, clearly not. Clearly not working, and I'm mad. And then they're like, oh, you probably don't like that I'm bothering you. It's like, oh, you're... So, now you're all upset. And I'm just standing there looking at them. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, any, all of the above or none of the above? What are we going to do, dude? And then they were like, I don't know who you are. And I'm like, okay. And then they'll be like, then they won't leave.
Oh, man.
And then they'll be, so that's fun.
Oh.
Then they'll be like, you were in the thing. I was like, wait, you don't know who I am. And they're like, confused that. They're like, wait a minute, my plan isn't working.
Ah.
I don't know. It's all fine. But I haven't had like a stalker yet. And lots of like, you know, the weird ones are like weird, long, crazy letters that don't go anywhere that I'm like, I wonder if they'll try to murder me later. Anyway, great day.
Joel, what would you say is your biggest pet peeve? Something that annoys the hell out of you?
Probably The extra two buttons I have to tap to turn off my Wi-Fi switch.
Oh, yeah. Why? I'm why like, you gotta
why
do this?
Can't I just turn that off and then turn that one?
Yeah. I feel you on that one, Joel.
Yeah.
What are you most proud of?
You know, my family.
Good answer.
No, I mean, yeah. It's such a cliche, but yeah, I've been married for 26 years and I have wow. two boys, which I am thrilled about. Don't tell them. So that really is like, I mean, I know that's such a cliche answer, but I mean, if it's that sort of thing, yes. But my wife and I climbed Mount Rainier a few years ago. So that was like when now, cause we fly to Seattle all the time, when I see that thing and I'm like, I got you.
Yeah, that is pretty incredible, Joel. Wow, yeah. Congratulations on doing that. That's great.
Why, thank you.
What would you have to say is your guilty pleasure?
Jeez. Well, I have a lot of red wine.
Oh, yeah. So
probably an extra glass. That's a guilty pleasure. I look at like vintage cars way too much. And so that is a guilty pleasure. I'm like, I am wasting a lot of time looking at these trucks and cars and what are you doing? Do something with your life. I do a lot of that.
But how can you not admire that, man? It's great. It's so nice.
I actually enjoy an airport lounge. Sometimes I like to get there a little bit early. I'm just like, I can relax before this flight and... it's great. And I was like, what a little weird pleasure you have here. So, yeah.
You don't get like
I paid all the money to belong to all the lounges. It's great.
And lastly, tell us a funny story about yourself or something you'll never forget.
Something I'll never forget. Well, I've told this story many times because I never forget it. When I played football at the University of Washington, go Dogs, I was on scout offense, which means, the people that aren't good enough to be on the first, second, and third string offense. So you're on scout offense where you're running the other teams, the opposing team's offense against the number one defense on your team. So you practice, that's how you practice. Like, so if we're playing USC, then you're like, we got all USC's plays, so we're just gonna run them against the defense. And if the play goes well, then you redo the play and show the defense again, hey, you missed that thing. If it happens, don't do it. So I was playing a tight end, which is what happens is if the ball gets hiked and there's a blitz, the tight end immediately in this play jumps through the line to catch a very quick pass because here comes nine guys on a blitz. And if you can dump the ball over, well, the ball got dumped over to me. I caught it and was hit by one of the best linebackers on the planet named Dave Hoffman, and he knocked the wind out of me. Bad. Then it was, all right, run the play again. So then I get back there. I haven't breathed yet, and I run the play again. I catch it. He hits me again. I have some sort of double special secret wind knocked out of experience. Then they're like, we got to do it again.
Oh, my
God. I'm like, that sounds good. And they were like, hike. And I just ran the opposite direction. And great. And then finally, I started breathing. So dumb. Wonderful.
Oh.
God bless you, Dave Hoffman. I'm friends with Dave now, and he's still a terrifying human being. Don't mess with him.
Wow, what a story.
Yeah.
All right, well, this has been an absolute blast, Joel. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for promoting things that I'm in.
Yes, yes. But before we go, is there in fact any current project that you'd like to promote at this time?
Oh, Stargirl. Watch Stargirl. It's on this month. And it's on CW and HBO Max. I play Starman.
Yes.
I'm on all season. Check it out. And watch Celebrity Beef on E, watch The Bear on FX, and watch Crime Scene Kitchen coming this winter. That's on Fox. So watch those. It's a baking competition show.
Yeah.
I like food.
Oh, of course. Can't go wrong. Well, yes, it's been a lot of fun. And so, and lastly, where can listeners find you on social medias?
Joel McHale.
Can't miss it, folks.
My name is my name. So enjoy Twitter and Instagram and my TikTok, which is, I'll need help from some of your listeners and viewers on how to do TikTok. I'm terrible at it.
There we go. Okay. So you're pretty much on all of them, in other words.
I'm on all of them. Yeah.
You know. Okay. Cool. All right, Joel. Well, I'll talk to you again sometime. And
thanks, man. You're a very nice man to do this. God bless you.
Thank you. All right, man. God bless.
Right on. Johnny Cage for life.
There you have it, folks. That was Johnny Cage of the superstar variety. But you probably knew that. We at Comedoku appreciate you taking the time to tune in today. We have another great guest coming up shortly. Another big thank you to all our continued supporters, and we'll be seeing you shortly. You know how it goes, combatants. Have fun, stay safe, and stay flawless.